Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, take note, we will begin at the bottom lines, in the last few lines of Daf Nun Gimel Omid Beis. Approximately 10 lines from the bottom, you will notice a slash mark toward the beginning of the line. First word online, Ledovar Echod, and then we begin with Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. But before we begin the actual Gemara, let us take note of the topic heading that we have on the side. We have written, Mosai Mevorchim Al Ho'esh Shel Havdola. We're talking about the Brocha of Borei Me'orei Ho'esh that we recite at the Havdola ceremony. And when we speak about when do we make the Brocha, we will be referring to not only Motsoi Shabbos, Saturday night, but we will also be discussing Motsoi Yom Kippur, at the end of Yom Kippur. As you know, Yom Kippur, as well as Shabbos, are days that one is forbidden to light fire, to use fire in that sense. We have a structure that we have to take note of in this Gemara. The sukkah will continue till the first few lines of Nun Dalet Omid Aleph, and it's a rather rigorous discussion, so in order to keep track of things, we have the following Mivneh, and we note the double underline, you will see, is used, and we indicate it goes till Nun Dalet Omid Aleph, Ma'akav Acharei Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. This is an attempt to keep track of different statements made by Rabbi Yochanan, Be'inyan Ner, which is sometimes called the Ur, the fire, B'motzoi Shabbos, O Yom Kippur. He will be making comments in that context. The squiggle underline will be used to highlight La'akov acharei ha-doivrim, the different speakers that appear in this sugya. He'ora, we have something we want to point out. Matras ha-gemora, the purpose of this sugya, levarer, alma Rabbi Yochanan omar es devaro. Rabbi Yochanan said something. Concerning what did he make a comment? The note continues, Shlavim. Shlavim means we have stages in this discussion as the Gemara unfolds. There are stages. The Rabbi Abba Hevin Meirabo Bar Barchana Davar Mesuyam. We will see in the Gemara that Rabbi Abba understands something from Rabbo Bar Barchana, and there's Rabbi Abba had a certain conclusion that he reached based on something Rabbo Bar Barchana said. Ula, stage 2, Ula, b'mabat panov hera delo itachein dover zeh. Ula turned to Rabbi Abba with a type of frown, if you will. He didn't actually articulate something, but he frowned, and that indicated his disagreement with that which Rabbi Abba had concluded. Then, stage 3, Rabbo Bar Barchana Hivhir Es Devarov. Rabbo Bar Barchana then clarifies what he actually said, V'hemid Hadvorim Al Nechonam, and he then set things straight. V'lozeh Hiskim Ula, and Ula will agree with that. Now, we provided a framework, but we didn't fill in what the different comments were along the way. So all we said is that we're going to be discussing the Brocha of Havdolah. When is that to be said? Now, we turn to the actual Gemara text. Hopefully, we'll have some, feeling of where we're going. However, the outline that we gave is only an outline. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, as we said, 10 lines from the bottom of Nun Gimel Amid Beis. So Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel says, Ein mevorchim al ha'ur, ur is the fire, Elo b'moitsoi Shabbos, Hoyo utchilas briyosohu. it is the brocha is of, on the fire is said only Saturday night, because that was the time fire was created. In the story of creation, we're familiar with the 6 days of creation and then Shabbos, but there is reference here to something being created, Motzoi Shabbos, and that's a reference to fire. More on this will be reported later in the Gemara. Omar le hahu sabo vitemo rabo barbarchano. So there was a reaction to this, and it was either hahu sabo, a certain elderly man, or another version is rabo barbarchano yasher. That is correct. That yasher is an expression meaning strength be unto you. That's a good thing that you said. And now there's another comment. V'chein Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a comma right before this V'chein Omer Rabbi Yochanan, so as to leave room to interpret this other ways. But in the meantime, the impression we are given is that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that statement, namely Ein Mevorchan Alur Ela B'Motzei Shabbos. The only time for a bracha to be recited of Morei Ha'esh, the bracha that we say over the fire during Havdalah, is Saturday night. And not only that, but Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that. Ula have a rochiv chamro ve'ozil. Ula was riding a donkey and going along. Vavishokil ve'ozil Rebbe Abba mimine ve'rabo barbarchano mismole. And to his right, Rabbi Abba was riding, and to his left, Rabo barbarchano. So we have three rabbis in this incident. Omar le Rebbe Abba le'ula. Vadai de Amrisu, Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Vadai, Rashi means, this is true. What you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is true. Now, what do you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Now, and Rabbi Abba is saying, you, he's referring to Ula and Rabo Barbarchano. What you people say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is true. And what is that? What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Ein mevorchem al ha'ur ela b'moitzoi Shabbos, hoyu utchilas b'riyosuhu. One does not make a bracha over the fire except for Motzoi Shabbos, which implies, and we wrote this between the lines, that Motzoi Yom Kippur, no bracha. That when Yom Kippur finishes, there is Havdalah, but the fire bracha is not recited. So that was Rabbi Abba's comment. Hodar Ula Chozobe Berabo Bar Barchano Bishus. Then Ula turned to Rabo Barchano in an upset manner. Bishus means he looked at him negatively. He was upset. So what had just happened? Ula heard Rabbi Abba saying that Ula and Rabo Barchano said this. So Ula turned to Rabo Barchano with this look that this something's wrong. You couldn't have said that. Omar le, so Rabo Barbarchano clarifies, Ano lav aho amri. There was a comment of V'chein Omer Rabbi Yochanan. I did quote Rabbi Yochanan in the context of fire, of light, of fire, but not as was reported. Elo aho amri. Rabo Barbarchano continues saying, it was rather on the following that I said something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Toni Tano Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan, a Tanaic statement was made in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan will respond. And you can see a double underline again is going to appear after the source, after the framed source, which is Rabbi Yochanan. So what did Rabbi Yochanan react to, says Rabbi Barbarchano, to the following? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur that coincides with the Shabbos, Af B'Mokim Shomru Shalo Lahadlik, even in places that it was customary not to light fire, not to light, to provide light through a lit fire, Madlikin Mipnei Kvod HaShabbos. Now this comment in the source of Af B'Mokim, you could see in the Mishnah that we had, just a few lines up at the end of the narrow lines, there was a report in the Mishnah that keeping a lit fire in one's house is on Yom Kippur is totally on a minhag. Again, we discussed that at the end of our previous shiur. So that's as far as Yom Kippur that falls out on a weekday. However, Yom Kippur that coincides with Shabbos, Madlikin mitnei kvod haShabbos, the source says you do light a fire that provides light in your house for the honor of Shabbos. The Oni Rabbi Yochanan Basrei, and Rabbi Yochanan responded to this Tanaic source, V'chachomim Oisrin. The Chachomim will tell you that if you're in a place that the custom was not to light on Yom Kippur, that applies also to the case of Yom Kippur that comes out on a Shabbos, and there's no fire lighting until Motzoi Shabbos. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. Elo aho amri lehu mishmeidu Rabbi Yochanan di ono achar atano. Rabbi Yochanan had responded to the Tana v'chomim oisrim lahadlik es haner af biyom kippur shchalios b'shabbos ad motzoi Shabbos. The Chachomim disagree with the Tana Reb Shimon ben Elazar. This is Rabbi Yochanan's point, that the Chachomim disagree with him, that even Yom Kippur that coincides with Shabbos, there's no fire lighting until Motzoi Shabbos. V'lo hizkarti shmosh Rabbi Yochanan a'ur b'motzoi Shabbos elo b'zu. And Rabbo Bar Hanan says, I didn't mention Rabbi Yochanan's name with regard to fire and lighting fires on Motzoi Shabbos other than in this context. And the emphasis here is, and not to the exclusion of a bracha on fire, Motzoi Yom Kippur. I wasn't dealing with when you make the bracha. I was dealing with the basic issue of lighting a fire, regardless of making brachas. Veheim svurin shaldovar birkas ha'or iskar tishmo. Those that heard me thought that I was connecting Rabbi Yochanan to an issue of making a bracha over the fire. I wasn't dealing with that. I was dealing with the issue of having light. And as I said, even as opposed to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Shabbos Yom Kippur, when they coincide, is like the din of Yom Kippur regular. And if the minig is not to have a light in your house during Yom Kippur, the same will apply to Yom Kippur when and Shabbos coinciding, and there will be no lighting of fire until Motzoi Shabbos. Motzoi Shabbos, which happens to be Motzoi Yom Kippur. But once again, I was not discussing the issue of the making of a bracha. Omar Lay. Now, Ula responds, Adotehe means Zos Tiyeh. I agree with that. Rabbi Yochanan would have said something like that. In other words, I agree that Rabbi Yochanan said that the Chachomim Osrin, as we explained. Koriole Rav Yosef, upon hearing this incident, he referred the following verse: Mayim Amukim Eitzo Bolev Ish, and the Gemara continues at the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, V'Ish Tevuna Yidolena. And now we break up the pasuk and see how Rabbi Yosef associates this pasuk with the incident. Mayim amukim eitza belevish ze ula. The deep waters are the counsel of the heart. Rashi explains at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis ze ula shehaven midvorav shel Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Bar Chana Tos, Ula realized that Rabbi Abba's report of that which Rabbi Bar Chana said was mistaken. V'chozo by Bishus, and he looked upon, there was this frowning look that Ula made. V'sosam Dvorov, he, however, remained quiet. All he did was give a look. Shalom alo klum, he didn't speak up. V'hainu eitza belev ish. The pasuk says this is the counsel in the heart of man, where it remained in his heart. V'lo omar lo, lomo omar tokach, and he didn't speak up and say verbally, why did you say that? So he gained by not jumping, so to speak, jumping on Rabbah Bar Chana, kept quiet, just provided the look, and everything got straightened out afterwards without Ula having to verbally disapprove of Rav or Bar Chana to, in fact, something which he never said. And the Gemara continues, V'ish tevuno yedalena. Rashi says at the top, V'ish tevuno yedalena, hevin ma hoya b'libo shelula she'mestakel bo. Who is it that the ish tevuna, man of understanding, raises up, literally? What is that? Who is the man of understanding? So the Gemara says, Zeh Rabo Bar Bar Chana. This is Rabo Chana, who, just by the look, by the hint, he understood that there was a problem, he understood the problem, and straightened things out. Ve'inhu keman savruha, and they, now the they is a reference to Ula and Rabo Bar Bar Chana, who didn't want to accept Rabbi Abba's point. Now, what was Rabbi Abba's point? He said that a brocha over the candle, over the fire, is recited only Motzoi Shabbos. They didn't agree with that. So what are they holding? The Gemara answers. Takes a couple lines to develop the answer. It says, Ki hod yom Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes om Rabbi Yochanan. They, Ula and Rabba bar Bar Chana, chose Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes's version of Rabbi Yochanan, Mevorchen Malur Bein Motzoi Shabbos Bein Motzoi Yom Kippurim, that the brocha made over the fire is recited not only Saturday night but also at the passage of Yom Kippur as well. V'chein Amo Dabar, and likewise the people conduct themselves. Amo is the people. Dabar is they conduct themselves. They're noheg that way. Meisvei. We have a source that poses a question, and again, you will see Rabbi Yochanan figures in this long question, and you can see the double underline. Meisvei, the source says, "Ein mevorchen al ur ela the motzoi Shabbos." Brocha is not recited over fire other than motzoi Shabbos hoyil utchilas briyosuhu. That was the time fire was created. So, in commemoration of that. Event of the creation of fire on Saturday, that is when we make the brocha. The kevon sheroe, one who sees a fire, motzoi Shabbos, mevorech miyad. Upon seeing a fire, you make the brocha. Reb Yehuda omer, sodron al hakos. Reb Yehuda says that we say all the brochas over a cup of wine. All the brochas is the brocha over the fire and the brocha that we make over the spices, the besomim as well. We say that together with the Birchas Hayayin, of course, the brocha over the wine, and the Havdolah passage, Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Chol Ben Or LeChoshech, etc. So all of them are said over a cup of wine. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach, as opposed to upon immediately seeing a fire Saturday night to make the brocha. The Yomer Rabbi Yochanan Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan says we follow Rabbi Yehuda. But what's the point over here? The point is Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the bracha over the fire is made only Saturday night. Notice our markings. We dashed underline Elo Motzoi Shabbos. Notice two lines above that. We had dashed underline Bein B'Motzoi Yom Kippurim, including Yom Kippur. And both of these have Rabbi Yochanan featured. So there is a stira then in Rabbi Yochanan. When is the bracha over the fire to be recited? Lo kasha. There is no contradiction here. Kan Be'ur Sheshavas. Kan be'ur hayoytzim no eitzim u'min u'min hu avonim. The term Or Sheshavas is a reference to a fire that was burning throughout the day, and it wasn't lit during the day, or if it was, it was lit for heter purposes, for helping someone very ill or a woman in childbirth. If a fire was burning throughout the day, so then that kind of fire will be kosher, will be acceptable for a Motzoi Yom Kippur Brocha as well. However, if you don't have a fire like that, and the first encounter you have with a fire is a fire that you lit with a match, so to speak, Yotzim no Eitzim Avonim is rubbing sticks or rubbing stones together to produce a fire, that's a fire that was newly made after the holiday, then only Motzoi Shabbos and not Motzoi Yom Kippur. so that the Aleph here and the Beis you see in parentheses correspond to the Aleph and Beis just a couple lines up. The Aleph comment of Bein B'moisoi Shabbos Bein B'moisoi Yom Kippur including Yom Kippur is a reference to a fire that had been burning throughout the day, that wasn't lit anew on Saturday night, but was rather lit from before Yom Kippur. Shavas means it, the whole day it was in existence. The Beis Halacha of only Motzei Shabbos, that's a reference to a fire that had been struck, had been made at the end of the, after the day passed. Then that kind of fire will be acceptable only after Shabbos, not after Yom Kippur. The Rashi on the fourth line from the top, Ba'ur Shayotze Me'etzim Denivra Achshav, fire that was accreted now, then Ein Mevorchem Olav B'motzei Yom Kippurim, that kind of bracha, that kind of fire will not justify a Motzei Yom Kippur bracha, El Motzei Shabbos, except the only time you will make a bracha for that kind of fire is Motzei Shabbos Sha'af Hu Tchilas B'yasur, because Motzei Shabbos was the time that new fire was created. As far as a fire that was burning throughout the day, but you could not use it, that is acceptable for Motzei Yom Kippur, because the bracha then is to acknowledge the allowance, the permission to use that which I was not allowed to use previously, so that you would have to have a fire that I could point to and say that this fire I was not allowed to use throughout the day, throughout Yom Kippur. So that's called, as we saw here, Ner Sheshavas. We continue in the Gemara. Tani Chada, one source says, Ur Hayoitzim in Oitzim in Avonim, Mevorchem Alav, fire that is created through striking a match, you make a bracha over that. The Tani Chada, Ein Mevorchem Alav, another source says that you don't make a bracha over it. So are they contradictory? Lo Kashya, there's no contradiction. Kan B'moitzoi Shabbos, source number one is a reference to Saturday night, the fire that was struck, that was made through striking a match. Then you will make a bracha over that Saturday night. Kan b'motzei Yom Kippurim, source 2 that says you don't make a bracha over that. That is if you're dealing with Yom Kippur, that the only fire you have is a fire that you struck now after Yom Kippur. So you will not make the bracha of Borei Moresh over that kind of fire. Rebbe Mefazron, Rebbe Chiyo Mechanson. Rashi explains, Rebbe Mefazron, on the first narrow line, Rebbe Kishiro Ur, as soon as he saw a fire, Mevorach Lov Miad, he would make the bracha immediately, Shemavim Lo Besamim Lesov Shah, and when spices were brought to him an hour later, Mevorach Lim, he would make a bracha then, on the spices. Rebbe Chia, on the other hand, Mechanson means he gathered them together over a cup of wine like we do. Omar Rebbe Yitzchok Bar Avdimi, Afapisha Rebbe Mefazron, even though Rebbe said them individually, Mefazron literally is scattered, but individually, Choser V'sodron Al HaKois Kedei Lehoitzi Bonov Uvnei Beiso. The same person will say the bracha again over a cup of wine in order to exempt the members of his household, his children and his B'nai Beiso, his wife. Now, the Gemara lapses into a fire discussion. It's basically a new discussion, but it connects very directly to the discussion we had just now, because we were making reference to fires being created, the creation of fire, Motzoi Shabbos. That is going to be brought into question. We have a sukya, you can see, we have some markings here, and on the side, under the Nosei heading, we have written Mosai Nivro, number one, Eish Shalanu, our common fire. When was it created? Number two, Gehenim. Gehenim is purgatory. In discussing Gehenim, so we're going to be asking Mosai Nivro, Halola, the cavity that contains Gehenim, if you will, and Eish Shalah, the fire of Gehenim. when we speak about topics like Gehenna and the fire and the cavity and all, one has to understand that there is, it's quite questionable whether these things are taken literally, that there's a large cavern in which there is Gehenna in our terrestrial terms. However, we will use these terms realizing that there is just another dimension of understanding, and we are not equipped to deal with that in the context of Gemara markings. But suffice it to say, Gehenna is a situation that one should avoid, and one avoids that by doing as many mitzvos and avoiding as many averus as possible throughout his life in Olam Hazeh. We will have diamonds, and under the Mivne heading, the diamonds are Kushios Benosei Mosai Nivru'u Dvaram Elu. They will be questioning comments made as to when these things were created. And a house marking will be used, Rishimos Shel Dvaram Shemofiim B'Mispar Kamo Asoro Dvaram Nivru. We're going to have lists of items that appear in list form, and they begin with numbers, like this. You can see the next line, Asorah Dvarim, and then after that, Shiva Dvarim, seven things, and then later on the Omid, Shnei Dvarim, and then again, the source we saw already is going to be quoted again, Asorah Dvarim. So we've highlighted the beginning of these lists, and these lists continue to the upper part of Omid Beis as well, where you see a list of Shiva Dvarim and Gimel Dvarim. The Gemara. The Or de Gehenna. Correction. On the second wide line, at the end of the line, the first diamond that we see, this is the beginning of a long question. We should note ahead of time that while we read this source, there is going to be a bracketed section, in fact, two bracketed sections, that are really here for skipping purposes initially, in order to be able to focus on the question immediately, so that we're going to be disregarding the bulk of this source for the purpose of getting right to the question. So the Gemara opens, V'ur b'motzoi Shabbos Ivri, is it so that fire was created Saturday night? V'ha Tanya, do we have the following list? Asor Dvorim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. There were 10 things created on Friday, Bein Hashmoshes, Friday at dusk, the passage of time between the end of Friday daytime and the beginning of Friday night, which is the beginning of Shabbos. So at that time period, there were 10 things created. Now, the brackets, you notice, three lines. Let's skip them. And it says, Af Ha'ur. There's one of the Tanoim here says, even fire. So when was fire created? Erev Shabbos, not Motsoi Shabbos. And again, you have a bracketed section taking you to the end of the source. The question is now obvious. In this Tanaic source, we see fire was created Friday, not Saturday night. Few more answers. Lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Ha ba'ur didan, ha ba'ur de gehenim. There is common fire, and there's the fire of purgatory. Ur didan b'motzoi Shabbos, or de gehenim b'erev Shabbos. Our common fire Saturday night was created. The fire of gehenim Friday. Following this, you can see again another question. Is that really so, that Ur de Gehenna B'Erev Shabbos Ivri? And again, we'll have again a list, and in the list there will be reference to seven things that were created before the world, and one of the items mentioned is Gehenna. And again, you see that all we have to do is focus on that, and the rest of the source is tangential for the immediate discussion. After having given that answer of Ur Didon Motsoi Shabbos and Ur Degehenna B'Erev Shabbos, the Gemara in the next diamond, you can see Ur Degehenna Be'erev Shabbos Ivri, is that really so that the fire of Gehenna was created on Friday? And the source then goes on, V'hot Tanya Shiva Dvarim, the next house marking, you can see seven things were Nivru, Kodem, Shnivru, Oilam. And then as we said, using the brackets, we can focus immediately just on the question. In this source it says seven things were created before the world, and number four, which is, you can see, highlighted with a dashed underline, is Gehenim. So that's before the world. And then at that point you skip to the end of the brackets, which is at the end of the source. And the Gemara's answer follows, Amri chalolahu denivra kodem shenivra olam v'urdi day be'erev Shabbos. The cavity of Gehenim was created before the world. However, the fire that is the source of heat in Gehenim, that was created on Friday. And following that, again, you can see a question. Is that really so? V'ur diday, the fire of Gehenna, bear of Shabbos Ivri, v'atanya. And there's another source that indicates, and you can see we dashed on B'sheni B'Shabbos, the fire of Gehenna was created on Monday. So that then is the question. It's a long question, but then there's a bracketed section there, and the Gemara will answer if you are following, and you see the end of that bracketed section. The Gemara then sets everything straight and says the chalola, the cavity, was before the world was created. The fire was on Monday, in fact. Our fire, that was a thought arose to create our fire on Friday, but it wasn't actually created until Motzoi Shabbos. So you have an accounting of all the four time periods that were mentioned. There's the before creation of world, there's the Monday, the Friday, and the Saturday night times. Now that we've given you an overview of the sukkah, so as to separate the forest for the trees, let us go through the entire sukkah with the sources in complete form. So we asked on the second wide line at the end, is the Ur was fire, b'motzai Shabbos Ivri, was it really created on Saturday night, v'hot Tanya, asor dvorim nivru be'erev Shabbos, 10 things were created on Friday, bein hashmoshes, at the time period between the setting of the sun and the appearance of three stars, that's called bein hashmoshes, we can call that the dusk period, elu hein, the following are the 10 items. Be'er, the be'er is a reference to the source of water that the Jews had in the Midbar, and when they left Mitzrayim, it's known as the Be'eros Shel Miriam, which in effect, the term be'er is a live spring, but it's a reference to the rock from which Moshe Rabbeinu produced water, miraculously. That's the be'er, v'hamon, that's obvious, that's the mon, the manna, the food that sustained the Jews that fell from heaven throughout their sojourn in the wilderness. The keshes, a rainbow, ksav, umichtav, Rashi has two pshotim on what these mean. The Rashi's second shot is, the ksav is the form that letters take, and michtav is the tool used to carve out or to etch out letters. V'haluchos, the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. V'kivroi shel Moshe, the grave for Moshe Rabbeinu. And so you see this was the grave, and that grave was there was a miraculous aspect to it that one did not know where it was actually located. One couldn't put his finger on it. That's the grave of Moshe, the Ma'ora Shelmad by Moshe Velio. There was a cave that the Torah and the Novi reports that these people, Moshe and Eliyahu Novi, they stood in the cave while the divine presence passed in front of them. And 9, Psichas Pi Ha'ason, in the story of Bilam riding his donkey, the donkey began to speak. So that ability was created, was prepared on that creation, a talking donkey. That creation was made Friday. And Psichas Piyos Levloas Roshoyim, the opening of the ground to absorb, to swallow up the wicked. And we know that in the story of the Korach rebellion, that took place. But that opening in the ground was prepared on Friday of creation. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Mishum Aviv Af Ha'ur, fire. So Rabbi Nechemya adds that fire was created on Friday. V'haperid. Perid is a mule. The mule is an animal that we're familiar with. It is that which results from a horse and donkey mating. But the phenomenon of such a creature, that was already from the days of creation. Rabbi Yosher Mimishum Aviv Af Ho'ayel V'Hashomir. The ayel is a reference to the ram that Avram Avinu used in place of offering his son, Yitzchak. Vashomir, this is a creature, Rashi says it's a type of worm that is able to cut through hard materials. And this was used in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af HaTzvas. The Tzvas is a tool like a tongs. Af HaTzvas, that was an item that was created on Friday. So there was an original tongs made and placed in the world on Friday. Hu Hoya Omer, Tzvasa B'Tzvasa Misavda. When we manufacture a tongs is a metal implement that has to be manufactured, and in order to manufacture a metal implement that's subjected to fire, it's molten and whatever, you need to have another tool in which to handle it. That's the original tongs. So that the tongs were made through the use of tongs. V'tzvasa k'maisa man ovid, the original tongs, well, who made that? Ha lai bria bidei shamayim hi. You have to conclude that in truth, lai means in truth, it was created at the time of creation, in the 6 days of creation, on Friday. It's something made by heaven. Omar lei. So there was a response to that, and which says Efshri Yasenu B'Tfus V'Yikbe'en HaKivan. Who says that the original tongs had to be something created by heaven? One could make a mold and pour molten metal into the mold and make it. Kivan means immediately. Make it immediately like that. Ha'olai. So in truth, Bria Bidei Odom Hi. The first tongs could have been made by man. The Gemara, though, is focusing on our question. It was mentioned earlier that fire was created Motzoi Shabbos, but in this source you saw it was created on Friday. Lo kasha, there is no discrepancy. Ha b'ur didon, ha b'ur de gehenem. There is our common fire, and there's the fire of purgatory. Ur didon, the Motzoi Shabbos. That, the common fire, was created Saturday night. And Ur de Gehenem, Be'erev Shabbos, the fire of purgatory, was created on Friday. Question. The Ur de Gehenem, Be'erev Shabbos, Ivri, is that really so, that the fire of Gehenem, of purgatory, was created on Friday? V'ha Tanya, we have the following source. Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shinivra Hoylam. There were seven things created before the world was created, and you can see immediately, if you skip the brackets, number four you can see is Gehenem. That was created before the world. So how can you tell us that Gehenem was Friday when it was created before the world? And this, again, you'll have a long bracketed section, but the question is right there. And the Gemara will then answer after the brackets that Chalolahu Dinivra Kodesh Shivolam, the cavity was created before the world, but the fire was in fact on Friday, fire of purgatory. So now the whole source, we say, how can you tell us that the Ur Gehenem was made on Friday? V'hatanya Shivadvar Nivru Kodesh Shivolam V'Elohein. Seven items were created before the world, and they are Torah, Utshuva. Tshuva is the ability to repent, and after sinning, the possibility of penitence exists. And that phenomenon was established before the creation of the world, the Gan Eden, the Gehenim. Number five, the Kisei HaKovod, the holy throne of the Almighty, Kiviyochol. And number six, Ubeis HaMikdash, and the phenomenon of having a Beis HaMikdash. And number seven, Ushmoi Shel Moshiach, the name of the Moshiach. What these things mean and what their significance is, this is worthy of a separate discussion, each one of these items in and of themselves. But the source goes on to show, give the sources for Kodem Shenivra Olam regarding each one of these items. And we've underlined and numbered each one of the items mentioned in the list. Torah Dichtiv. Torah was created before the world, as the Pasuk says, Hashem Koneni Reishis Darko. And this Pasuk, Reishis Darko, means before other things. So the Torah, which is also known as Reishis, was created at the very beginning. Rashi says, Reishis Darko Kodem Lishar Dvorim V'Hoda Moron Liel Haksav Be'erev Shabbos. The reference before to Ksav, which is a reference to writing, that was created on Friday. That's B'Ksavim Sheluchos. That's a reference to the Ksav, the writing on the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Vezu hoiso ksuva mitchila be'esh shchora al gabi levona. And that was originally a black fire on white. We continue in the Gemara. Tshuva dechtiv b'terem harim yuladu. Terem means before the yuladu, is the birth, before the creation of mountains. Uksiv teshev enosh ad daka, toshev enosh ad daka, vatoma shuvu b'nei odom. In this pasuk, there's a reference to shuvu, is tshuva. So before the world was created, tshuva was established. Gan Eden, dichti, vayita Hashem Elokim gan be'edem mi kedem. Mi kedem means from before. So that Gan Eden was established. And you can see how these topics are quite esoteric, because one would have assumed that Gan Eden is part of the world, and yet it was established before the rest of the world. And number four, Gehenim, which is really the emphasis of our discussion, Dechtiv ki oroch me'esmo tifteh. The word tifteh, Rashi explains, is one who is mitpateh, one who is seduced by his evil inclination. And the Pasuk says, me'esmo means from before, from yesterday, but it means from before the world. From before the world, Gehenim, which is the place that people that yield to their Yetzer Haraz, that was already established. Kisei HaKovod Beis HaMikdash, the divine throne and the holy temple, Dichtiv, Kisei Kovod Moroim Merishoin Mokom Mikdashenu. So you have a reference in this Pasuk to Kisei HaKovod and Mokom Mikdashenu. Merishon means from the beginning, from the outset, means before the world. Ushmo Shem Moshiach, Dichtiv, Yehi Shmoi L'Olam Lefnei Shemesh Inon Shemo. So it says Lefnei Shemesh, before the sun was created, but it basically references before the world was created. So Inon Shemo, his name, the name of the Moshiach, is Inon. Omar Amri. So the Gemara now has to answer the question raised by this source. Originally, we had answered that the fire of Gehenim was created on Friday, but here you see Gehenim was created before the world. Amri, the Gemara answers, Chalolahu de Nivro Kodesh Nivro Olam. The cavity of Gehenim was created before the world. V'ur Didei, however, the fire of purgatory, that was on Friday created. Question, again, a long question, take note of that. With, again, the use of brackets will become apparent shortly. The Ur Didei Be'er of Shabbos Ivri, and the fire of Gehenim, was that really created on Friday? V'hotanya, we have the following source. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ur Shebor HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sheni B'Shabbos, the fire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on Monday, Ein Lo Kaviyo Li'Olam, that is never extinguished. And that's a reference to the Ur, the fire of Gehenim. It's not a type of fire that you can throw water over and douse it. Shinemar, Vayatsu, Vayrou, Bepigwe Anoshim Aboishim B, Ki Talosim Lo Tomus, Vishom Lo Sichbe. Isham is their fire, Lo Sichbe is not extinguished. And this is a reference to the Anoshim Aboishim, the evil, the wicked men, were cast into a fire that has no extinguishing. Hence a reference to the fire of Gehenna. And that was created on a Monday, according to this source. The Gemara will answer after the bracketed section. Elo halola kodesh nivralam v'urdi day b'sheni b'shabbos. At that point, we read this before. All the four time periods are accounted for. Let's continue, though, in the bracketed section. V'omar Rabbi Benob Rei de Rabbi Ula. The psukim, if you look at them carefully, regarding the 6 days of creation, it says regarding most of the days, "Vayar Elokim ki tov," and the Almighty perceived things as being good. So why on Monday does that ki tov expression appear as absent? Mipnei shenivra bo ur shel gehenim. Because on that day, Monday, the fire of Gehenna was created. And so it's hard to refer to that event as Tov. V'omar Rav Elazar, afal pi shelo nemar ki Tov, even though it wasn't, that phrase did not appear, chazer v'kololo b'shishi. It was accounted for, it was included on Friday. So you see the double expression Toiv Me'oid is a throwback to the absence of Tov on Monday. Rashi explains, like, sort of you have to make up your mind, or was it good or not good? So Rashi says there was an element of good in the fire of Gehenna in so far as that becomes the method of having the wicked judged. The question once again is, how could you have said that the fire of Gehenna was created on Friday, when here there's an indication it was created on Monday? Elo chalolo kodesh shenivralam, the cavity in fact was before the creation of the world. V'ur diday, the fire of Gehenna b'sheni b'shabbos, was created on a Monday. V'urdidon, our common fire, but machshava will rose be erev Shabbos. There was a thought. The thought arose to create it on Friday. V'lo nivra mitzvah Shabbos, but its actual creation was only on Saturday night. And what's the reason for that, or what's the background to that? So Desanya, we have that in the following Tanaic source. Rabbi Yosi Omer Shnei Dvarim Olu b'machshava libros be erev Shabbos al nivru ad mitzvah Shabbos. There were two items that were thought. The thought arose to create them on Friday, but in actuality, they were created Saturday night. And on Saturday night, the Kodesh Baruch Hu imparted to man, to first man, to Adam Arishon, the Me'ein Dugma Shomala means similar to the characteristic of heaven. In other words, the power of creation with regard to with regard to two items. Number one, and the triangle is used to highlight these two items. V'hevi shnei avonim, he brought, Adam Rishon brought two stones, v'tochen en zu b'zu, and cast them one into the other, basically rub them together, v'yotzim en ur, and that the friction produced the spark, which produced the fire. V'hevi, now we have a slash mark, and this is a very helpful marking, because we also have a starred note, ad kan b'inyanei shabbos. Until now, the focus of our discussion was on fire. Now, the focus of our discussion changes, and we simply turn to a new topic. And on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei has Yitziras HaPered, the formation of the mule. And we'll have reference to another discussion here. Ono, Mibnei Seir. Who was Ono? And the name of a person was from the descendants of Seir. Seir is also associated with Esav. So, As we just explained, we basically finished the fire discussion, having set the matter straight. The four different time periods were already accounted for the Gemara right before this Tanaic source. We continue in the source, Vehevi, another thing that occurred to the Almighty to create on Friday, but he waited till Saturday night and imparted the idea or the method, the wisdom of creation into man. And what else did man do? Did Adam HaRishon do? Vehevi shtei behemos. Virkivzu bezu, he brought two animals. It might very well be a reference to the horse and the donkey. And he mated them. Vyotza mehen pered. And from that, a pered came to be. So, and we have a little aleph here indicating that this is Rabbi Yossi's approach to the creation of the pered. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he has another approach, hence you see the little bays here. Pered bimei ona hoya. Pered came about in the days of a person known as Ona. Shinemar, the pasuk accounts for Ona, and you can see this is in Bereishis Perek Lamed Vav. The pasuk says, Hu ono asher motzo es hayemim bamidbar. And the yemim is a reference to the pered animal. So ono is he who found the yemim in the midbar. Dorshe chamuros hoyu omrim. Dorshe chamuros is a reference to those who knew how to darshan psukim that were difficult, or psukim that seem to be contradictory. So the Dorshe Chamuros Hoyomrim, the people who knew how to darshan these difficult psukim, said, Ona Posel Hoya. Ona was a person who was of unfit genealogy. Lefikach Hevi Posel Olam. Therefore, he is responsible for the coming about of an animal that is also through forbidden means. And the halacha does not accept, the halacha forbids mating unlike species of animals one with the other. So he, Ona being that his background was one of that which is unfit, as the Gemara will reveal to us shortly, Ona actually had relations with his mother. So it says he was posel lefikach avi posel olam. Therefore, he brought posel psul into the world. Shinemar ele b'nei seir hachori. Now Rashi points out ele b'nei seir, and it says v'tzivon v'ona. So in this pasuk, tzivon and ona appear to be brothers. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says ele b'nei tzivon v'aya v'ona. And here in this pasuk, you see that Ona was a son of Tzivon. So let's go over this again. The pasuk just before indicated Bnei Seir HaChori, and it said Tzivon v'Ona. So there, Tzivon Ona are brothers. They are descendants of Seir. And the second pasuk says that Bnei Tzivon was Ona, that Ona was a son, not a brother of Tzivon. Elo Malamed. This shows us Shebot Tzivon Alima. We were a little bit inaccurate before, but here the Gemara sets the record straight. Tzivon had relations with his mother. So you see that Tzivon was a brother of Tzivon had relations with his mother, Vaholid Bimeno. Bimen Ona, and through his mother he produced Ona. So that Tzivon was in effect the father of Ona, while also the brother of Ona. So you see that Tzivon and Ona had the same mother. After all, Tzivon was created by a relationship between a man of Seir and a woman that produced Tzivon. So there was this woman that produced Sivon, and the same woman produced Ona. So being that the same woman produced these two men, so they are brothers. On the other hand, Sivon is also the father of Ona. The result of all of this is that Ona was Pusel, and therefore the Pusik that was at the end of the Tanaic source, Hu Ona Shir Motzes HaYemin B'Midbar, he is also associated with the Yemin, the Pered. The Gemara asks, V'dilma Tre Ona Havu, maybe there were two different Onas? And who is to say that the Ona in the this genealogical reference to Ona as being Pusel is the same Ona that was Motzes HaYemin? The Gemara answers, Omar Kra, and here again we have a brackets that we suggest using for skipping purposes. The Pusel says, Omar Kra, Hu Ona de Meikara. The Pusik says, this is the same Ona that was referred to earlier. So that the idea of having two Onas is not acceptable. Let's go over the bracketed section. The Gemara had asked just before the brackets, V'dilma Tre Ona Havu. The Gemara answers, Omar Rava. Rava then tells us, we have an Aleph here because there are two versions as far as the names are concerned. You can see Ikod the Amri on the next line, and we call that base. But the first version is, Rava says, Amino Milsa de Shavur Malka Lo Omra. I am going to say something that even Shavur Malka didn't say. Shavur Malka is a term referring to the Persian monarch. However, it's just a code or a nickname for Shmuel. And that's why the Gemara says, Umanu, and who is Shavur Malka in this case? Shmuel. Shmuel was a great Amora that whose rulings we follow when it comes to monetary matters, and in that sense he's like a king. Like a king judges all kinds of cases, so Shmuel's rulings are to be followed in Dine Mominus. Iko di Amri, Omar Rav Papa, another version of the names is Rav Papa said, Amino Milsa de Shavur Malka Lomra. I'm going to say something that even Shavur Malka didn't say. Umanu, who is Shavur Malka to Rav Papa? Rava. Now, so what is the great thing that even they didn't say? Omar Kra, Hu Ona, which means Hu Ona de Meikara. When the Pusik says he is the Ona, it's the original Ona, meaning that there were not two different people. Tanu Rabbanon. Asorah Dvorim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. You'll notice that this list is similar to that which we saw earlier, and there are also some additional information as we continue toward the end of this list. But this Tanaic source will continue to the top line of Amud Beis. Asor Dvorim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. 10 things were created on Friday as Shabbos was about to enter. Bein Hashmoshes, we said, the time we call dusk. The Elohein, and the following are the 10 items. And we mentioned these earlier, so we'll simply read the list now. Be'er, Umon, V'keshes, Haksav, V'hamichtov, V'haluchos, Kivroi Shel Moshe, Umaora Sheomad Bo Moshe Ve'Eliyahu, Psichas Pi Ha'osoin, Upsichas Pi Arts Levloas Rishoyim. And now some new information. V'yei Shomrim, some say Af Makloi Shel Aaron Shkedel Uprochel, and the staff of Aaron with its blossoms and its fruits on it. V'yei Shomrim Af Hamazikin. Mazikin are demonous creatures. V'yesh omrim af. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Bigdoi shel Adam Harishon. Rashi has a little bit more background to that. Whatever the case is, it's an article of clothing that was worn by Adam Harishon. Tanu Rabbanan. Shiva dvarim mechusim mibnei Adam. Elohein. There are 7 things that individual people do not know. Yom HaMisa, the day of their death, the date of their death. The Yom HaNechoma. Rashi explains, this is the day that a person will experience relief from matters that are troubling him. V'oimek hadin. Rashi says, V'oimek hadin horoiv toimbo inami oimek hadin heosid, having to do with a future judgment. Number four, V'ein odom yodea ma belibo shel chaver. A person doesn't know what are the inner thoughts of his friend. Five, V'ein odom yodea bama mistaker. A person doesn't know what will be his source of profit. Number six, U'malchus beis David mosai tachzor. When will the kingdom of David return? A reference to the Moshiach. U'malchus chayeves mosai tichlin. When the evil kingdom will cease to be exist. The Rashi says malchus chayeves romi shekosuv bo gvul rusha haynu chayeves. The word rusha and chayeves are the same term. So when will the evil empire, could be a reference to the as Rashi says, to Rome, or in fact Rome and all that developed forth from Rome. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosh Dvarim Olu B'Machshava Libros. There were three things that occurred to be created and were created. V'im lo olu din hu shi'alu. And if they didn't occur to be created, they ought to have been created anyway. And they are Al Hames Shiasriach, that a corpse decomposes or decays. If not for that, Rashi explains, relatives would take the bodies of their loved ones and store them away, and every time they would see them dead, they would experience pain. So the fact that bodies decompose and decay is for the benefit of mankind. The next, V'al Hames She'ishtakach Min Alev, that one's deceased is forgotten from people in the course of time. Otherwise, people would be driven into depression all the time, because they'd always be remembering with the same degree of intensity at the time of demise itself. So the Almighty created within man the ability to forget in that sense, as we described. And the third, V'al Hatvua Shetirakev, that grains they also spoil over the course of time. Rashi explains, Al Tvua Shetirakev Shilo Kain, if not for that, Hoyibale Batim Atsrin Oisa Umavian Ravon Lolom, if not for that, people who produced grains could conceivably store them up and not release them for sale, having no motivation to release them other than in exchange for a high price, and that would bring famine to the world. V'yeg Shomrim Al Hamatbea Sheetz, another opinion adds to this list the idea that currency should be accepted by people. That idea was something that was created. The Mishnah. Mokom shenagu lasos melacha b'tisha b'av oisim, mokom shenagu shalo lasos melacha ein oisim. Places that had the custom of doing melacha on Tisha B'av could do melacha, and in places that the custom was to refrain from melacha, so one is not allowed to do. V'chol mokom tamid chachamim b'teilim. In all places, Torah scholars, when it comes to Tisha B'av, shall desist from doing melacha. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer le'olam yase odom atzmo talmud chacham. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, not just talmid chacham, but any commoner should strive to make himself or behave like a talmud chacham, which would mean that no one should really do melacha on Tisha B'av. And Rashi adds, based on what the Gemara will describe later, v'lo amrinon mechsikura v'imrotzu libotel rashoi, is a person who is not an actual talmud chacham by his refraining from melacha, and we'll say appearing to be like a talmud chacham in that sense, one does not have to object to such behavior in the fear that appears to be haughtiness. Yuhara is haughtiness. So we will see more about that later. But there is a clear message here that other types of behaviors that are uncharacteristic of, let's say, a Talmud Chacham. So, and if a non-Talmud Chacham will adopt that type of behavior or that type of dress, that is a problem of appearing to be haughty. And Judaism and the Talmud has no tolerance, if you will, for people who behave in such a way. Before we continue, we are going to look at the side of the Gemara where we have a heading that will say Bein Hashmoshos Shel Tisha B'Av. We're going to be looking at that time period where the sun has set, but three stars have not yet appeared, so we call the Bein Hashmoshos period of time with regard to Tisha B'Av and what is to be practiced during that time. Omar Shmuel, Ein Tainis Tzibur V'Bovel Elo Tisha B'Av Bilvad. Now, the idea of a Tainis Tzibur, we should mention at the outset, its origins are found in Maseches Tainis, and that's a time period or dates where public fasts were declared because there was no rainfall. And it was a gradual series of fasting that took place, depending on how severe the situation was becoming. Ultimately, there were fast days that were 24-hour fasts, similar to what we're familiar with as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, or Tisha B'Av. So Shmuel says that outside of Eretz Yisrael, like in Bovel, where there was no shortage of rain, and it's only surrounding rain matters that Tainis Tzibur's public fast days are declared. So since in Bovel there was no lack of rain, it was a marshy area which had a constant water supply, constant agricultural water supply, so they didn't have days that they observed with the stringency of a Tainis Tzibur other than Tisha B'Av. Now Tisha B'Av was not rain related, but it had, according to what Shmuel says, it had the same stringency as a Tainis Tzibur. Now, what is that? So Rashi points out the idea of stopping one's eating while it's still day. In other words, the 24-hour fast means that during the night and the following day, one does not eat. So one stops eating while it's still day, the previous day. So that's one of the aspects of a Tainis Tzibur. There's also an Isser of Malacha and some other restrictions that apply to a Tainis Tzibur. So Shmuel says that the concept of a Tainis Tzibur, or the restrictions characteristic of a Tainis Tzibur, don't exist in Bovel other than Tisha B'Av. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara has a long question. L'meimro desavar Shmuel Tisha B'Av Bein Hashmosha Shelo Osir. By saying that Tisha B'Av is like a Tainis Tzibur, you're also saying that the Bein Hashmoshes period of time is forbidden as well. So are you really, is that what Shmuel is saying? That the Bein Hashmoshes is Osir? V'omar Shmuel, Tisha B'Av, Bein Hashmoshes Shelo, Mutter. Now you'll notice with our dashed underlining, if we keep track of things, we saw Shmuel saying that Tisha B'Av Bein Hashmoshes Osir, because of his paralleling it to Tainis Tzibur, and Tainis Tzibur, the Bein Hashmoshes period, is Osir. So too Tisha B'Av. But how can that be when Shmuel says that Tisha B'Av, its Bein Hashmoshes period, is Mutter? V'chi Teimo Kosovar Shmuel Kol Tainis Tzibur Bein Hashmoshes Ol Mutter. You might say, well, Shmuel's approach to a Tainis Tzibur in general is that Bein Hashmoshes is Mutter. But it says regarding a Tainis Tzibur that eating and drinking takes place while it's still day. Limute mai. When you say it takes place while it's still day, what are you coming to exclude? Lav limute bein hashmoshes. Doesn't that mean that bein hashmoshes it is usur? So the question is still in place. On the one hand, Shmuel parallels Tisha B'Av to Tainis Tzibur, which would mean Bein Hashmoshes is Osir, but on the other hand, Shmuel says that the Tisha B'Av Bein Hashmoshes is Mutter. Lo, the source that we just read, that is limuti mi shechashecha, meaning that one is allowed to eat while it's still day, to the exclusion of when it's definitely dark. When it's definitely dark, in other words, the nighttime of the Tainus Sibur has set in, so then it's usur to eat. But as far as Bein HaShemoshes, which is not a time period, which is definitely dark, it's a Sofek time period, so there is no restriction. So at this point, the fact that that Shmuel says that Tisha B'Av is like Tainus Sibur, and that Tisha B'Av Bein HaShemoshes is mutter, well, it just so happens that Tainus Sibur also Bein HaShemoshes is mutter, so the parallel is okay. Nemo Mesayale. So we have this is a question, it's a three-line question, an attempt to bring a Tanaic source to support Shmuel. Shmuel, who says that the Bein HaShemoshes of Tisha B'Av is mutter. What does the source say? Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yoyim HaKippurim Elo Shezu Sveiko Aser V'Zeh Sveiko Mutter. There's no difference in terms of practice between Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, except for that when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's Sveiko, its doubt is prohibited, and when it comes to Tisha B'Av, its doubt is allowed. My sveiko mutter. When you say sveiko, and sveiko is allowed with regard to Tisha B'Av, what are you referring to? Lav Bein HaShemoshes? Is it not that time period called Bein HaShemoshes, which is the time between sundown and the appearance of three stars, which is a suffake whether it's a time period that's attached where it's still the previous day or it represents the new day? So if we were to say that is the explanation of this source, so what are we saying? We're saying that Tisha B'Av Sveiko Mutter, meaning Bein HaShemoshes is Mutter. Well, what did Shmuel say about Tisha B'Av Bein HaShemoshes? He said Tisha Bein HaShemoshes is Mutter, so this would be a support. The Gemara says Loi. The source is not a support. So what does the source mean when it says Sveiko Mutter? K'de'omer Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi L'kvio Di'archa, as Rav Shisha says elsewhere, it's a reference to the establishment of the calendar, of the date, and that suffix manifests itself in the need to have, let's say, a two-day Yom Tov when it comes to places outside the land of Israel. So that issue of observing 2 days is not necessary when it comes to Tisha B'Av, but it would be necessary with regard to Yom Kippur. So Hachanami, so too over here, L'kviya D'Archa. Rashi, in explaining the issue of Kviyot Yarcha, says something in very general terms. He says, "Lasu shnei yomim ki mesafkolan," to the need to make 2 days when we have a doubt. Im ovru based in chodesh shavar o ilo. That's the standard explanation that is given when it comes to what we call the 2 days observed outside of Israel of holidays in general, and with regard to Yom Kippur, it would mean that if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then there would be a need to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. Tosfos takes strong objection to that pshat, and therefore he introduces a different pshat of a sofek. Sveiko usher would be a person who is, let's say, walking in the desert, and he is not sure what day it is, so he would have to observe 2 days. But for whatever the pshat you use here is that it's a reference to the observance, the need to observe 2 days when you are in doubt. That would apply to Yom Kippur, not to Tisha B'Av. So, at this point, structurally, Shmuel said what he said. Shmuel's approach is that Bein HaShemoshes of Tisha B'Av is mutter. There was an attempt to bring support to that. That attempt failed. Dorash Rava. Ubros umenikos misanos umashlimos boi kederch misanos umashlimos biyom HaKippurim. Ubros are women that are pregnant. Menikos, women that have recently given birth and they're nursing their babies. They are misanos, they fast, and mashlimos, and finish off the entire fast day of Tisha B'Av as they are expected to do with regard to Yom Kippur. ubein hashmosa shelo osir. Now, we've dashed underlined this because this becomes the focus of the of this discussion. And this also is not the opinion expressed by Shmuel earlier. V'chein omru mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. And thusly it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as well. Bein hashmoshes is osir. And now, the Gemara is going to focus on what is really Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. So, you can see on the side under the Nosei heading, Shitas Rabbi Yochanan legabi bein hashmoshes shel tishabov. And the Mivneh, you have, in the structural note, we have triangles with the point facing up, kushos, are questions, and the inverted triangle, tshuvos, responses. So this is a, what we call a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. And you'll see that that's, that carries us down a number of lines here. The Gemara picks up now with a discussion, as we said, around Rabbi Yochanan. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. We're at the first triangle with the point facing up. Is this really Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that Bein HaShmoshos of Tisha B'Av is Osir? V'Omar Rabbi Yochanan Tisha B'Av Eino Ketainas Sibor. Tisha B'Av is not like a public fast. My love, LeBein HaShmoshos, is it not a reference to Bein HaShmoshos, which when it comes to a public fast, so the Bein HaShmoshos period imposes the restrictions of a Tainas Sibor. With regard to Tisha B'Av, it would not. Loi lemalacha. When Rabbi Yochanan says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainas Sibor, that's with regard to engaging in malacha. Malacha, constructive activities. Well, do I really need Rabbi Yochanan for that? Question that lasts a couple of lines here. Malacha, tanina. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of Malacha and Tisha B'Av, and it says, Mokim shenagu lasis malacha b'Tisha B'Av oisin, in a place that the custom was to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, you can do so. Uva mokim shenagu shelo lasos ein osin, and where the practice was not to, so then you're restricted. The afilu Reb Shimon ben Gamliel lo omar, even Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who advocated, as we saw in the Mishnah, that everyone should attempt to not do malacha. Elo dechiyosiv lo avid lo mechzik yura. All he was saying is that by restraining from malacha, so you don't create the impression of a haughty individual, making yourself to be a Torah scholar. Avol mesar lo osar, but Reb Shimon Leil did not prohibit malacha on Tisha B'Av. So Reb Yochanan made a comment that Tisha B'Av is not like a Taina Sibor. And that a Taina Sibor so malacha is forbidden, Tisha B'Av it's not forbidden. Do I really need Rabbi Yochanan for that? The Tanaic source indicates the same thing. So the Tanaic source preceding Shmuel, I know, preceding Rabbi Yochanan, I know that anyway, I know that already. Ela, my Eino Ketaina Sibor. So what is meant when you say, when Rabbi Yochanan says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Taina Sibor, it means L'tfilas Ne'ila. As far as adding an additional prayer service for the day. On a Taina Sibor, so there was a Ne'ila prayer added, similar to that which we're familiar with on Yom Kippur. But as far as Tisha B'Av, there was no Ne'ila. However, as far as Bein HaShmoshes is concerned, we maintain the original approach of Rabbi Yochanan that Bein HaShmoshes is Aser. So that this, as you can see, we have an inverted triangle. We're defending, this is an answer, how we defend the original statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Bein HaShmoshes is Aser. Question. V'om Rabbi Yochanan ulevai shispalo odom v'holech kol hayom kulo. But Rabbi Yochanan says that a person should daven, halavai means it should only be that a person should daven all day. So, if that's the case, so how can you tell me that on Tisha B'Av, so you don't have a tefilas ne'ila? As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, Tisha B'Av could be just like a Tainis Sibur and having an additional prayer added. The Gemara says there still is a difference. Hosam, in the case of a Tainis Sibur, Chova, you have to have the Ne'ilah. Hacha Rishus, here with regard to other days, other than a Tainis Sibur, so it's a matter of option. So there is the difference between Tainis Sibur and Tisha B'Av is, in fact, in the realm of Tefillah. But as far as Bein Hashmoshes is concerned, they are the same. Tisha B'Av and Tainis Sibur, and Bein Hashmoshes is Aser. So as far as the give and take of Gemara, the last point made, you see the inverted triangle, hence an answer to the original question. The original question having been, could Rabbi Yochanan have really said that Tisha B'Av, the Bein Hashmoshes is really usher when Shmuel says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Sibur? The final answer is that both statements are correct, that Bein Hashmoshes of Tisha B'Av is usher just like a Tainis Sibur. Where is there a difference between Tisha B'Av and a Tainis Sibur? That difference is manifest in the realm of Tefillah. The Iboy Asema, another answer, my Eino Ketainis Sibur, that which Rabbi Yochanan in his comment number 2 said that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Sibur, that's Le'esrim Va'arba'ah. That's as far as the having 24 instead of 18 brachas that constitute the Shmona Esrei, on the Tainis Sibur they added 6 more brachas into the Shmona Esrei. So the additional 6 plus 18 gets you to 24. That additional number of brachas was not on Tisha B'Av. However, as far as Bein Hashmoshes is concerned, both of them, Tisha B'Av and Tainis Sibur, it is Osir. Rav Papa Omar, my Eino Ketainis Sibur. What did that mean when Rabbi Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Sibur? It means Eino Korishonos Elo Keachronos, that Tisha B'Av is not like the first stage of fasting, which in fact was just a daytime fast, but rather it's like the latter stage of fastings that exist as a result of no rainfall. And hence, Osir. That's Elo Kachronos Vasura Bein Hashmoshes of Tisha B'Av is like the final stages of the Tainis Sibur, where the Bein Hashmoshes is Osir. So you can see also structurally we use some numbering here, and on the side of the Gemara a diamond appears, Memusparim. The diamonds that are numbered are the Hesberim Ledivrei Rabbi Yochanan number 2. We were explaining Rabbi Yochanan number 2 that said the Tisha B'Av Eino Ketainis Sibur. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av Yom Kippurim Ela Shezes Sveiko Asur Vezes Sveiko Mutter. My Sveiko Mutter. By the way, this source should be very familiar because we had it quoted in the halfway down the page. At that point, we were working with Shita Shmuel. Shmuel had said that the Bein Hashmoshes of Tisha B'Av is mutter. One doesn't have the Tisha B'Av restrictions don't apply to Bein Hashmoshes. At that point, this source was brought into support, but it didn't work. That support didn't work, but it was brought into support the idea that Bein Hashmoshes is mutter. Here, we're working with Rabbi Yochanan, who says Bein Hashmoshes is usser. Now, that same source, which led us to think that Bein Hashmoshes is mutter, here will be a kasha. It's brought as a question on Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what we're seeing now. Meisvei ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yom HaKippurim, Ela Shezes Sveiko usser, Vezes Sveiko mutter. My Sveiko Mutter. What does that mean? Lav Bein Hashmoshes. Isn't it saying that Bein Hashmoshes is Mutter, and that would be unlike Rabbi Yochanan? Omer Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Lo. And here we quoted him in passing. We said we made reference to him. And here is where he says his actual statement. He says that that's not, Rav Shisha says that that is not the explanation of the source when it says sfeiko muter. It's rather lekviya diarchutz, to the issue of the need to observe 2 days when you are in suffek. So that need will arise by Yom Kippur, and it won't arise by Tisha B'Av. However, as far as Bein HaShemoshes, which is also a suffek period of time, in with regard to that, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are the same, in that Bein HaShemoshes is Osir, just like Rabbi Yochanan said. Rashi points out that this is called a milsav api nafsha. This is a question is raised here, or let's say a point is raised here, but it's not a flow from the Gemara that we just had. So that as far as the discussion concerning Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, so that point is finished. That's why we have a semicolon here, indicating that this is there's a pause in the discussion where we now refer to something new. So that marking gives a sense of separation, we'll say. The Gemara now says, Ha l'chol divrehem v'zeh shoven. The Tanaic source we read recently said that there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur except for Sfeiko Osir versus Sfeiko Mutter, and we said that has to do with the need for observing 2 days in the face of doubt. But regarding everything else, we're saying they are the same. So, Messiah or Reb Elazar, this would support Reb Elazar. Yom Reb Elazar, Osir lo le'odam she'oshit etzboi b'mayim b'tisha b'av, k'derech she'osir lo'oshit etzboi b'yom ha'kippurim. It is forbidden for a person to insert his finger into water on Tisha B'Av, just like it is osir to expose one's finger to water on Yom Kippur. In other words, this has to do with the prohibition of bathing. And when we prohibit bathing, it's extensive. It's according to this approach, Rabbi Lozer's approach, that even exposing one's finger to water would be forbidden on Tisha B'Av, just like on Yom Kippur. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source that presents a question on this. And this question takes you to the bottom line. It says, Meisvei, Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tayna sibor, Tisha B'Av versus Tainas Sibur, there is no difference except for the issue of doing malacha, where by Tisha B'Av b'mokam shenogu, where the practice was to do malacha, so on Tisha B'Av you would do malacha. They have the right to do malacha. On a Tainas Sibur there is no allowance, no permission to do malacha. So That's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Tainas Tzibur. Hal l'chol divrehem zeh v'zeh shavin. But regarding all other matters, Tisha B'Av and Tainas Tzibur would be the same. V'ilu gabi Tainas Tzibur tanyan. Regarding Tainas Tzibur, what do we have? What are we taught regarding bathing? K'she'amru al sibur chitza, when Tainas Tzibur was declared to be forbidden with regard to bathing, lo amru elo kol gufo. But as far as hands, face, and feet, meaning that's a reference to washing one's body limb by limb, or limb washing as opposed to full body washing, Tainas Tzibur is allowed. Now let's do some marking work. At the beginning of this section, we had Rabbi Elazar telling us that Tisha B'Av osur lehoshit etzbo b'mayim, paralleling Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur. We have a Tanaic source from which we inferred that Tisha B'Av, one is allowed to expose himself partially to water in a bathing sense. So that's the question. Omar Rav Popa. Rav Popa provides the answer, and it takes you to the very top line of Nun Hey Omer Aleph. Tona Kuli Kuli Kotoni. The Tana, the Tanaic sources that we are reading about over here are featuring points of leniency, but they are not being taught here to infer from them other halachic points. Rashi spells everything out. Rashi at the top, Tana Kuli Kuli Nokat, Kol Hani Ein Bein, the sources that began with the expression Ein Bein, Chad Tano Amrinu. It's the opinion of one Tana, the Kuli Kuli Nokat, and the Tana is featuring leniencies. Bereisha Tana, the first taught, Ein Tisha B'Av kal miyom kippurim lechatchila elo shizes sfeiko v'chulei. That Tisha B'Av has one element of leniency that has to do with the sfeiko issue. The need for observing 2 days is not present when it comes to Tisha B'Av. V'tana seifa ein Tisha B'Av kal mitayin sibur elo leinyan molacha. Tisha B'Av has that aspect of leniency where there is a possibility of being allowed to do malacha. Ubechumri, the chumri Tisha B'Av, mitayin sibur lo airi hacha. As far as stringencies, characteristic of Tisha B'Av, more so than a Taina Sibur, that's not under discussion over here. The Teiduk Mina, that one should think he can infer Zeh v'zeh Shoven regarding these other matters, they are alike. So that the chance to infer from these sources Zeh v'zeh Shoven regarding other things they are alike, that's not the program over here. Ula Kulam, as far as all the sources are concerned, Linyan Rechitza, Tisha B'Av Chomir. Tisha B'Av is more strict regarding matters of bathing than a Taina Sibur. And hence, the original statement of Rebbe Lozer is defended, that on Tisha B'Av, one is also Lehoshit Etzbo B'Mayim. Uvechol Mokoyim, Talmidei Chachomim, B'Teilim, and Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Li'oilum Yas Odom Atzmoi Talmid Chacham. So in the Mishnah we saw a seeming Tanaic controversy where the Tanakhama says only Talmidei Chacham are restricted from Malacha on Tisha B'Av, but commoners, they should do Malacha. In other words, if the practice in that area is to do Malacha, they should do Malacha. That would give the impression that in other words, the Tanakhama's approach is saying someone who is a genuine Talmud Chacham, so he can behave thusly. Someone who's not, for him to do like a Talmud Chacham would create a false impression, an impression of haughtiness. Rav Shimon Leo, on the other hand, says everyone should strive to be like a Talmud Chacham, namely, even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, behave like one. It seems that Rav Shimon Leo doesn't care about the fact that he's going to be mechzik yuhara. So the Gemara, in light of that, raises a question. And the question lasts a couple of lines. L'meimra, the Reb Shimon Amliel Sovar lo chayshin in liura v'rabbonon sabri chayshin liura. Are you suggesting that the chachamim are worried about the yuhara impression, and Reb Shimon Amliel is not concerned with that? For itcho shaminon lehu, we have heard them to say the opposite. This not, we have a Tanaic source here, which discusses a person who's getting married, a chosan, he's the groom getting married, and on his wedding night, is he obligated to recite the kriyashma? So the source says, chosan imirza likros kriyashma laila rishon korei. If on the first night of his marriage, if he wants to say the kriyashma, he is entitled to say it, even though he's got other things on his mind that would very likely distort or upset him in his ability to concentrate. The Tanakhama says if he wants to say Kriya Shema, he can say it, even though he won't necessarily be able to concentrate. Rav Shimon Leo Omar, Lo kol ha'roitzeh litol es Hashem yitol, not just anyone who wants to accept the name of the Almighty upon himself, which is another way of referring to saying Kriya Shema, which is associated with accepting the yoke of heaven on oneself. It's not something that just anyone can do. What's Rav Shimon Leal trying to say? If you can't concentrate, if you're a chosan, so you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema. And if you do, so you're creating an impression that you are something other than what you really are, that we call haughtiness. So the Tanakhama says, if you want to say it even though you can't, it's okay. Even though that might create an impression of haughtiness, it doesn't bother the Tanakhama. What about in our Mishnah? Only Talmidei Chachamim shall desist from Malacha, but commoners should not behave like that, because otherwise you are creating yuhara. So there, the Tanakh, in our Mishnah, Tanakhama is worried about the false impressions. Omar Rav Yochanan, Mukhlechas HaShikr, Rav Yochanan says we have to switch around one of these sources so that there is consistency between the two sources. Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, Omar, Lo Tepuch. Interestingly, here Rav Shisha appears again in our sugya, and he says, don't switch the sources. The Rabbonon Adurabbonon Lo Kash. As far as the opinion of the Chachamim is concerned, there is no contradiction. You have to analyze each halacha on its own merits, and you'll see the explanation. Hacha, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Kevan de Kule Almo Avdi Malacha, the Iulo Ovid, Merci Kura. If you're in a place where everyone is doing Malacha and you don't do it, so you're creating an impression that you are a Talmud sage, a Torah sage. And therefore, if you're not a Torah sage, and you're not doing Malacha, so that appears as if you are haughty. So in the case of Tisha B'Av, you can't avoid creating that impression. Aval Hasam, when it comes to Kriya Shema, Kevon de Kule Almokori, since everyone else around you is saying Kriya Shema, the Iunami Kori, and he, the Chosin, is also saying the Kriya Shema, Lo Merci Ki Yuara. You're not creating a false impression or an impression of haughtiness. So that according to the Rabbonin's approach, the issue is, are you going to look different or not? So in the case of Tisha B'Av, where everyone around you is doing Malacha, and you're not doing Malacha, so you look different. In the case of Kriya Shema, where everyone around you is saying Kriya Shema, and you would also be saying Kriya Shema as a Chosan, you're not looking different. There are Shulamil Lo Kashya, as far as what would appear to be a stira in Rav Shlomo Amliel, a contradiction, there's no contradiction. Hasam, in the case of Kriya Shema, Hasam hu deboinon kavona. Kriya Shema requires concentration and intent. When you're reciting those words, you have in mind also, not just the recitation of words, but you have in mind the necessary thoughts that are required. That's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Vanan Sadi, and we bear witness the Lo Motzi Kavni Daite. The Chosan cannot possibly have the necessary concentration level needed for Kriya Shema, and therefore Merci Ki Yuara. It's obvious that he's casting the impression of a haughty individual, that he's saying, I can do something that we know you can't. Aval Hocha, in the case of non-Asiyas Malacha on Tisha B'Av, Lo Merci Ki Yuara, he's not going to create the impression of Yuhara. Why not? It's true everyone, like most people around are doing Malacha and you're not, but Amri, people will say, Malacha hu deles lei. This guy doesn't have what to do. He's unemployed. Go out and see how many other batlonim, people that are unoccupied, unemployed, there are. So that in the case of Tisha B'Av, your behavior isn't going to arouse on the part of the public thoughts of yuhara. Therefore, there's no contradiction between the two Rabbonin approaches and the two Rav Shimon Leo approaches. Each case has to be evaluated on its own. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.